Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode of Figuring Out 30 is brought to you by Libido, sexual wellness products that help you feel good about feeling good. Hello and welcome to Figuring Out 30. It's the podcast exploring the chaos, confusion and clarity that comes with life in our 30s. I'm Bridget Husthwaite, and not gonna lie, I am counting down until the end of this month because Oscar and I are going on our first international trip together. How cute! We're going to Fiji for like 9 days. It's gonna be, yeah, a real drop and flop moment. Is 9 days too long for Fiji? I don't know. We're staying in 3 different places just to break it up. Like, we pretty much go straight down to the Coral Coast for a couple of nights, and then we hit Tokariki Island, I think that's what it's called. And then I think we've got just like one night in Denarau before we fly back to Melbourne. But yeah, it's going to be so nice and relaxing. I still do have some work to do over there, but that's fine. I'm just really looking forward to getting away and having a nice little island moment with Oscar. I don't know. I'm so excited that it's our first international holiday. Things are just feeling good at the moment, especially now with us being in this new house. You can probably actually hear a plane going over at the moment because we're in Essendon. So I think we're kind of close to either Essendon Fields or Tullamarine. There's planes flying about, but I fucking love planes, so I got no issue with that. When I lived in Sydney in 2018, one of my favorite things to do, I don't know if I've ever said this before, but like, I loved, because I lived in Erskineville and Marrickville, like in Inner West, but I loved walking to Sydenham Station and just standing there and watching the planes come in, because that is directly on like the flight path, and you'd get like, you're really close to them as they were descending. It was sick. But anyway, very happy being in this new place. Looking forward to this international holiday. So yeah, I actually want to keep on the topic of travel for this episode, because I am really gunning to do like a 3-week trip to Italy and the Greek islands next year, but I don't really have anyone to go with. And I don't know about you, but the older I get, the harder I'm finding it is to travel with friends and stuff. You know, in my 20s, I did a fair bit of traveling. I worked at Flight Center and student flights for a couple of years, so travel was obviously a huge priority. I'll give you a mini timeline, I guess, of my travels. So first time going overseas was actually 10 years ago, 2013. Did two months across Europe. Oh my God, I just actually, by the way, found my digital camera from this trip and she's still working. So funny. But this trip was with 4 other girls. I probably would never do that again. Or if it was to be a group setting, make sure it's even numbers and not like 5 or 7 or whatever. The following year, 2014, I did Bali with a friend from high school. That was sweet. 2015, I did an 8-day trip across Spain with a bunch of other travel agents on a Famil. So that was a Top Deck. And I also went to America for the first time, and I went solo, but I did a 14-day Top Deck tour there as well. Speaking of these group tours, I was just reading Travel Weekly, and how interesting is this, right? I was just kind of looking at the trends and, you know, what's going on in the travel world, and these travel groups are booming at the moment. Solo travel is on an upswing as a number of tour operators report substantial increase in demand over the past year. And what's going on, like, the trend appears to be so many people are booking these group tours, but they're all kind of solo travelers. Let me scroll down. There's this tour group called, what is it, EF Go Ahead Tours. They've seen a 200% increase in solo traveler bookings since the start of the year. And Intrepid as well. I was just reading about Intrepid. Women make up about 75% of Intrepid solo travelers in North America. Yeah, it just pretty much says how women dominate the solo sector. And it honestly doesn't surprise me, because like, I'm feeling the same thing in my early 30s, right? It's just hard to find friends to travel with. But I'll go more into that. Let me go back to the timeline. I'm kind of just zigzagging here. 2016, I did a 2-week UK trip. I met some people over there, but that was like, you know, I flew over by myself, came back by myself. 2017, I did a 3-week Europe trip with my ex. The following year, did a week trip to Bali with him too. Then COVID, so obviously no travel for a couple of years. 2022, so this time a year ago, a week trip to Vegas, originally booked that solo, but got a friend to come along. Looking at the timeline, I've actually done some solid solo travel for international trips. And yeah, I kind of wonder what that says about me. Like, I am certainly comfortable with my own company, but I'm also, I don't know, a bit withdrawn and introverted. Like, I want to travel with friends, but for this trip next year, I don't think I want to be with anyone for like 3 weeks straight unless it was Oscar. So I'm thinking I'm just going to book and then see if anyone else happens to be over there at the same time or something, just meet up with them. I don't know. But yeah, I'm usually sweet with traveling solo, but I don't know. I feel like these are two places, like Italy and the Greek islands, that I want to be around people for. Like, I don't want to do the Greek islands by myself. Like, I really want to be with someone for that. But like I said, it's hard to find people. So Oscar can't take time off during the year because of footy. I've got so many friends who have kids or mortgages, which is obviously so understandable. And I know that I'm picky with who I would want to spend so much time with. You know what I mean? I was actually talking to Lucy Smith about this, who I worked with at Triple J, because I have seen her take annual leave a lot for solo trips. And she's actually in Japan at the moment by herself. And what she said to me was so bang on. Let me just go into my phone and find the message. Yeah, she was just like, you know, it's hard, as you know, working at the ABC. Your holidays are either planned well in advance to account for ratings period or super last minute to work around other programs. So that's either too much or too little planning time for friends. Friends want to go with their partner, or it's hard to find a time because every other weekend there's a wedding, a hen's fucking 30th birthdays. And also, solo travel reminds you how much the world is built for two people, which can be hard as a single gal, mainly financially. Accommodation is so expensive on your own if you don't want to do hostels. And yes, so true. So Lucy's done, yeah, a fair bit of solo travel, and, you know, I've been there. Like, I totally get it. So I want this episode to be on solo travel. We're going to be talking about it. I want to hype it up. Like, I want us to be able to embrace it and normalize it a bit more. But yeah, like what Lucy mentioned in her message, also acknowledge like the barriers. Like, it definitely isn't an equal space in travel if you're by yourself and, you know, traveling as a single gal. And I've got Melissa Mason back on the podcast to chat about this. So she joined me earlier in the year to talk about dating someone younger, embracing our cougar era. And she has actually wrote a lot of pieces about solo travel. She's actually overseas by herself at the moment. She has been for a few months. So we had a little Zoom to talk about it. And you'll hear about Melissa's relationship with solo travel, how it's evolved from her slightly traumatic first stint, which, when you hear the story, you're going to be like, oh my God, she's the Australian LC, for any fans of The Hills out there. But she also offers some really great insights and tips, and also some of the weird responses that she has got about solo travel as a woman. So let's get into it. Where the hell in the world are you? Where in the world is Melissa Mason?
I am actually in Hydra in Greece, which is an island. It's just about 2 hours from Athens by boat. And I'm here for 2 weeks, which has been so nice. I've been kind of like jumping around a lot. I've been away for about a month now, and I've got 2 more months to go. It's all happening.
I love following all the stuff that you put up on your Instagram. It's like kind of like a live blog of how it's all going, and you're very raw and real about it, like the highs and the low. What's your relationship with solo traveling? Like, have you always been keen on it, or did the thought ever terrify you?
Oh God, yeah. It used to terrify me. It used to scare me so much. I remember my first solo trip was when I was 22, and I got an internship, a fashion internship, at a magazine in Canada.
Oh my God.
And I was like, this is an amazing opportunity. I'm basically going to be in the hills. Not really, but like in my
mind. Australian LC, I love
it. Canada style. And then I was like, I'm going to do this. I'd never traveled even overseas really by that point. And so I packed up my bags. I booked a hotel. I like started putting feelers out to do some like apartment subletting inspections, and I got there and I just had wave after wave of panic attack, like for 2 days straight, and I just couldn't do it. I actually was like crippled. And I, at that point, like, I had anxiety and I didn't realize that I had anxiety and panic disorder at the time. I hadn't been diagnosed yet. And I wasn't on any medication. So I'd gotten there and it was just all hitting me. And I ended up coming back after 2 days, and that really scarred me. I know, I know. And like, sometimes I kick myself because it would have been an amazing opportunity. And knowing now that, like, there is always that part of solo travel at the beginning where you're just super anxious, but mm-hmm. it does like pass over time. Sometimes I'm like, oh, damn, that would have been so cool, like, to have done that. But then I also then think back to how I was at the time, and there's no way I was ready.
No way, yeah.
No way. So that scarred me for a bit. Yeah. And so all my traveling was done with, like, I desperately had to always have someone with me, like my sister or friends. And then in 2016, I left a job and I had actually like a week between one job and the next and nothing to do. And I was like, I really just want to go see Broken Hill.
Oh, that's so random. Why?
I know. I think I've always been a bit obsessed with the outback, but particularly for some reason, to me, Broken Hill was like a fixation. I was like,
so niche.
It's so far. But it's just like so far. It's like, to me, it felt like the like ends of the earth in New South Wales that I could feasibly drive to, you know, like I would say, like, you know, obviously like the red center is like the real goal, right? But you can't drive straight out there. It's not possible. So I was like, okay, Broken Hill, I'm doing it. And so over the course of a week, I just did this little solo road trip. And it was the greatest achievement. Like, it wasn't just that the experience was so good. It was like, hell yeah, I did that all on my own. No, I just had all those experiences, all those, like, I immersed myself in that surroundings just for me. Like, I just got to watch the sunset for me. I got to go and like check out, like, I got to like wander around, like, I'm such a nerd. I got to wander around like the Flying Doctors Museum for like 2 hours. No one wants to go there for 2 hours. Literally no one wants to do that for 2 hours except Melissa Mason. So, you know, I just got to do everything I wanted. And that, I think that's when my real like obsession with solo travel kicked off.
That's amazing. Good on you for putting yourself out there again and like actually giving it another shot, because the first experience, especially because you were, you know, in your early 20s, so far away, like, that is enough to put you off for life, honestly.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I should actually say, which I think really taps into what this podcast is about, is that that was my early 20s. And then when I did the Broken Hill trip, I was 30. And the difference in like my inner strength, I think, and my groundedness in myself to be able to overcome the periods of anxiety. And also, like, to be fair as well, I'd gone through lots of therapy by then. I was on anxiety medication that I needed. Like, I had a lot more in place to manage my panic disorder, but I still had that anxiety, but I think I was just older and wiser in a way, I suppose, and I guess more confident in myself and what I could handle by 30 than I was at 22. I mean, it's different for everyone. You hear these people that like jet off at 18 and manage it, but it just wasn't for me. And I think that's okay if it takes you a while to get to that point.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Like, everyone is kind of going, like, we're all running a different race with this stuff. How would you compare traveling solo in your 20s to your 30s? Because for me, I'm finding it, I guess I'm a lot of it, I'm finding it harder in the sense, well, I'm finding it easier in that I've got more money now in my 30s, yeah. But like in your 30s, I've got friends, it's just so hard to find friends who want to actually travel at this age. And I feel like I'm definitely selective in who I want to spend my time with, who aligns with me in terms of places, even budget, like social battery. And yeah, like in a perfect world, would love to do it all with Oscar, but then he has his work and footy commitments. And like, I'm thinking right now, like I want to plan like my little Europe moment next year for Italy and the Greek islands, but currently don't have anyone to do it with. So I'm like, fuck, I'm probably just going to have to go over and then I'll meet up with people, or maybe I will do a bit of it myself. But it's interesting. Yeah. I'm finding it harder in my 30s to actually just find people to travel with.
Yeah. Oh, and that is a big part of why I ended up solo traveling. It wasn't actually necessarily that I craved it at 30, because I did that trip. I then did like a whole trip around Australia on my own for I think 4 months. And then I've done like some little ones where I've gone like overseas. This year I went to like America on my own for a month, and now I'm here. So I've done a lot of them now. And every time it's not actually because I'm like, I need to go on my own. I desperately don't want to see
anyone.
So
not by choice, by circumstance more so?
Yeah, but I enjoy it. But yeah. I do still think it is really difficult. But I feel like for me, there's things about it sometimes where I'm like, I'm so glad that I'm doing this on my own right now, but I don't think that I've necessarily ever intended for the trip to be a solo trip. It's just because, yeah, I can't find anybody. Like my two people that I would travel with is like my sister and Tom, my partner. Easiest travel buddies ever, you know, and I've got a friend Ash as well, who is a great travel buddy, and we do a lot of Australia stuff together. But again, they've all got jobs. And so, you know, and they work full time. I'm freelance, so I can work from anywhere. Like this isn't just a holiday. Like I'm working a lot while I'm here. I just happen to be doing it in a great place in the middle of summer, which is
even when we were talking, you're like, I can do it in a few days. I'm like, you want to do it? Like, I was like, oh, we can do it in a month. You're like, no, I've got my podcast gear. Like, let's talk to you next week.
Oh my gosh, I've actually just been emailing to people in Sydney, and they were like, you've been working late, and it must have been like 2 a.m. in Australia time. And I'm like, no. I'm not crazy. It's just, you know, like I am working while I'm here, but then it's obviously like the benefit is that you do your several hours of work and then you can go jump in the ocean in the beautiful Aegean here. And so that's incredible. I think it's harder to find, like when you're in your 20s, I think you've got a lot of friends who are like, have their uni break or like a working casual jobs where you can just feasibly take that 3 months off. Like you can save up, you can take your 3 months, you can go backpacking. And then you get to your late 20s and into your 30s and people have full-time jobs and their careers that they're really passionate about. They're not really like up for quitting their whole career to take 4 months off work. I was really lucky when I did my road trip around Australia. I was working at Pedestrian, and they gave me almost like a, what would you call it? Like a, just that, like a big chunk of time off unpaid. So I could do it, but that's an exception to the rule. And that's because I was working for people who founded a startup and were really passionate about people like pursuing dreams and things like that. Like it's not always going to be the way. And it's, and so there's a lot of commitments, I think, that mean that you can't find that travel buddy or that group of people that you can feasibly go traveling with. And then there's also the factor of, like you were saying, like if you want to do a big trip, you can probably find people to do 2 weeks with, but to do a big like transformative type of trip, if that's what you're looking to do, like where you're really exploring, that's harder to find people. And so I do think it's a circumstance thing for me, particularly over a preference. But in saying that, I find there's parts of it that like I wouldn't trade having people around for anything.
100%. How about like the reaction that – have you seen the reaction change? Because you wrote an article on this recently, as you've gotten older to be a female solo traveler. What are the responses that you're getting? And I guess it's more so from strangers, right, when you are perhaps like checking in like to accommodation or out at a bar or I guess maybe in contact just with like acquaintances or people you might have to work with and stuff. What has that been like?
Yeah, well, I think there's like for the most part like a lot of positivity, a lot of wow, that's amazing, I can't believe you're doing that, I could never do that, which also I'm like, yes, you can do it, it's hard to do it. I did write an article because I've been getting like little comments every now and then, and you're right, they're mainly from strangers, people that don't know me, about Tom, my partner, because you know, we live together, we've got a little dog. And we've been together now 2.5 years. And I had a lot of people be like, oh, like, how's Tom going to cope? And like, oh, what does Tom think about this? And how's he going to be with you being away? And what's he going to do? And I was sort of like, this is so weird that like this is where people's heads go, is like Tom is, you know, like a tiny like baby bunny rabbit.
Like a baby.
Like a little baby that needs to be constantly cared for. And it's funny because he's
a grown-ass man.
Yeah. And he's also just not that guy as well. Like, he is very capable of, if anything, he's more obsessed with our dog than I am, in the sense of caring for him and being like overly cautious about everything that he does and eats. So I was very confident Tom was going to be fine.
We're going to get back into this conversation with Melissa Mason. But before we do, I want to give a quick shout out to today's sponsor. Libido is an Australian female-founded sexual wellness brand on a mission to break down the stigmas and taboos around sex and pleasure. They've created a range of modern, elevated pleasure products that you'll be so proud to leave on your bedside table. You'll want them on show, from their 100% natural organic lubricant to their sleek and stylish external vibrator. Libido is here to help you feel good about feeling good. And whether you're single or wanting to spice things up in the bedroom with a partner, Libido has something for everyone. So go check out their amazing range of sexual wellness products in the show notes of this episode. Plus, you can use my code FO30, so that's figuring out 30, for $30 off the Essential Vibe. It's a super modern and sleek vibrator with three gorgeous colors to choose from and a bunch of different settings to get you going. I love the design of this vibrator and also the fact that it's waterproof and it's really quiet too. So again, that's $30 off the Essential Vibe with my discount code FO30. So figuring out 30, head to libido.com to start elevating your pleasure. Thank you so much to Libido for making this episode of Figuring Out 30 possible.
But yeah, there is this like, still I think a real sexist culture around women traveling on their own. You still get a lot of like, oh, look after yourself, be careful. Really comes up a lot. And, you know, I think to some degree, just like in Australia, you know, the women be careful kind of discourse is because people, I think, genuinely care, right? And then there is like statistically, mm-hmm. Women, violence against women is a real issue. And so mm-hmm. I think people say it because they are genuinely concerned for your safety. But what I also think that it perpetuates is this idea that like you're constantly going to be in danger and like you're almost certainly going to,
well, you're just like not capable.
Yeah. And I think that really bothers me because it does actually get into your brain. And I think that is the barrier for a lot of women in their 30s and, you know, 20s solo traveling, is this idea that you'll come to harm, something bad's going to happen to you because you're on your own. And the reality is then when you get overseas, you're like, oh, it's fine. Like, obviously, I think there's like common sense, right? Like you be aware of your surroundings. You don't like wander around unfamiliar places at night on your own, like alone necessarily. Like, I think there's being, you know, having common sense that you would have anywhere. But I always, before I go on a trip, have this like fear of like something bad's going to happen to me because all these people are telling me to be careful. And then when I get there, it is never as scary as I thought it was going to be. And a lot of that is fed by what people say.
Women, naturally, we always exercise a degree of caution. Like it's conditioned in us, right?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
So we don't need people talking down on us, I guess.
Oh, we are already thinking it. Like we are already there. Our brains have already gone to the like worst possible scenario. That's just how we have been conditioned, just based on what the world is like for us.
Yeah.
And like I think that, like you said, exercise caution, be aware of your surroundings. But I do think that like when people are saying that to you all the time, it gets into your head, and then that is usually for me in the past was the biggest barrier.
Have you noticed a bit of a I guess imbalance? I was looking at Jill Stark's Instagram about solo traveling, and just in terms of like accommodation, like, because it doesn't really, the price of accommodation doesn't really factor in for solo travelers as much, like unless you are doing hostels the whole way, but like for hotels or even sometimes the Airbnbs and stuff, a solo traveler doesn't typically fit into that demographic. Isn't it weird? Because like I just think rooms that will have like a, you know, that will just naturally have two queens or something, and I'm like, I just need like something smaller. Like,
yeah,
that's an annoying thing about solo traveling. That's probably my least favorite.
Yeah, the cost is definitely a massive factor, especially when you get into your 30s, I think, because unless you are like super like travel pro person who just like loves a hostel. Like I cannot do a 6-bed bunk ever again. It's not happening. It's not happening.
I'm past it.
I actually booked one. Yeah. I'm past it. I booked one. It's the same for me with camping at festivals. Can't do it anymore. Not doing it anymore. Done. Officially yep. done. Yeah. Give me a little house so I can go back and have my shower and wash all the mud off and the sweat yep. and then like get in bed and tie my hair up and put my little serums on my face.
Yeah.
I don't want to not have a shower for 3 days again.
I know.
But
yeah,
some people love it and like I wish I was them, honestly, but it's not for me. And so I think what's really shifted is that when you're younger, yeah, you're like, cool, 12-bed dorm. Yeah, let's do it. No aircon, that's fine. I'll like breathe in everyone's stinky feet. That's totally chill. Don't mind that 12
I just
people,
need a bed.
All 12 like... people are snoring. Yeah. Like you could sleep on the floor in the airport if you wanted to. Whereas I feel like now I'm like, I think it more just adds to the anxiety and the like stress of solo traveling. I think when you're a bit older, when you're like ripped out of your comfort zone on so many levels, yes. I think that for me, right? Like right now I have the best Airbnb. You probably can see parts of it in this room. I've got this really lovely Airbnb. It has aircon. We love aircon over here. It's so hot. And, you know, it's got a gorgeous little patio where I do my work and it's just really nice. Got a full kitchen set up. So it's been lovely because it feels like a little home and it was a really good price. But yep. that's the exception. Like the rule that I have found is exactly like you said, there's not really solo accommodation with appropriate prices set up. If I was with Tom, and like Tom, my partner, is coming over for a while, when I'm with him, my costs halve because it's like, and it's like, you know, oh cool, now we can get this room with the double bed, but instead of me forking out, you know, 200 euro, now I'm forking out 100 euro or whatever, and then that's great. It's like 50% of my costs are gone. So there is a financial factor for sure. And sometimes you can get around it. Like in Australia, like over here this year, I found it really expensive. Like even the hostels are so expensive for like single bed rooms. Even the dorms are expensive at the moment. But yeah, like that's one option is looking for hostels with like a single bed shared bathroom situation. Cause then at least you have your space, you have your own room, your own bed. Like you've got that piece for sleeping if you don't mind sharing a bathroom. Or you can get ensuite ones. But in Australia, I found those were everywhere and really affordable. And I stayed in some great ones. And the other tip I would say is I email a lot of Airbnbs. Like instead of just booking it, I message them and say, I'm a solo traveler. I'm coming for this long. Would you consider a different price? And, you know, sometimes they don't because it's high season. Yeah, like sometimes it's high season, they can't. But
just shoot your shot.
Oh, you shoot your shot, and if you do it politely and you explain why, like you're not just like trying to get a deal, like you're like, I'm on my own. And also if you put an offer in, like if it's a 2-bedroom place and you're like, I won't be using this second bedroom, so I'll just close that off and like, you know, whatever. And you've got also like got a good rep on Airbnb, which I'm obsessed with my rep on Airbnb. Like, you know, like their Uber rating, I'm like Airbnb. Yeah. Like if we go on a group trip and I booked it, I am like militant. I'm like, everybody, fluff those pillows. Like, take bed. All the shit off the bed. Like, this place should be sparkling clean when we leave. So, yeah, I think I'm not coming off like a normal person.
No, I love that energy.
anyway, yeah, so I think there are ways to try and make it a bit more budget friendly. But yeah, it's a privilege. It is a huge privilege. It becomes even more of a privilege, I think, in your 30s from a financial standpoint. For me, the only way I'm affording this is that I saved like crazy last year for it and I'm able to work while I'm here. So I'm earning money as I go as well. So yeah, it is financials are a huge factor.
Yeah, I'm keen to get into more tips and some more pros and cons. Before though, the one that's just sticking out to me is like, how do you take photos? How are you getting nice photos?
Because you know, the other week,
because like the other week, I just went down to Aries Inlet for a riding trip, and it was just me, and they've got the Round the Twist lighthouse there, and I was like, I really want a photo with the Round the Twist lighthouse. Yeah. And it was one morning I got up early to get there before the tourists come, and I thankfully it was bin day, so the bins were out on the street as you're walking up the road towards it, and so I just got someone's bin and just wheeled it out a bit and leaned my phone against it. Yeah. And I had to do like 50 self-timers to get this one shot that I was like, that'll do. So yeah. What do you do? How are you getting your shots in Europe?
I look that. Literally same. I was
bins and rocks and shelves.
Bins and rocks. I definitely did that on a walk. I was on a hike and I was like, I haven't had any photos of myself this whole trip. So I did set it up like I created this complex rock structure where I had the phone wedged between, and then I'm like bending, like wiggling my finger through to press the button so that the self time would go off, and then go and stand there. And then it would be like, I would pose, and then if you blink or something, you're like, oh Christ, I've got to go do that all again. So yeah, like probably 30 of the same, not the best pictures, but I think you actually get to this point where because you can't take all the photos, you kind of stop wanting them or needing them. And so I take a lot of photos of like stuff around me. So I'll take a lot of like the view or like, you know, just beautiful stuff that I see. But the selfie and like the me in the photo and like those gorgeous like Instagram worthy shots go out the window. And there's a beauty in that to a degree. I'm not judging that at all. I'm sure once Tom is here for a few weeks, I will be all on that.
Oh, you'll be going.
I'll be like, here you are. You're taking all my photos. Like, it's definitely not a judgment, but it is literally like, here's all my shit. So nice, let's pretend I'm not carrying a backpack. Yeah, I'm like, so nice to see you. I haven't had a photo at the port. Can you just go over there now? I know you're like really jet lagged, but I'm getting the shot. It's nice because it takes it like something that I've written about this before too, about social media and holidays, where, you know, you get to this point where you do so much research now, and you can because you've got everything there in Instagram and TikTok and articles, and so you get all these amazing places. You're like, that's so beautiful, I need to go there. And then you get there and it is beautiful, and you're like, I need a photo in this place because it's so gorgeous, right? But then you get like really bogged down in getting the right shot and having the right outfit for that shot, and your hair needs to be good and it needs to look like this, and that's, you know, and then you get consumed by getting the shot, getting it on social media, getting fed by all that feedback, all of the likes and the comments and the dopamine hit from that. And that's a sick cycle in that I have gone on holidays and done that for like a week and been like, I feel like I miss so much because I wasn't really present. I was like inside my phone, not in the world. And so and that still happens to me here now, because like being solo traveling, which we'll get into in a minute, but like it can be lonely, and the morning period is when Australia's awake. And so I've found myself spending like the whole morning until lunch just like on my phone messaging or like voice noting people and on social media because I want that connection. But then I've missed like half a day, and I'm trying to limit it to like an hour or something or 2 hours, and then put my phone away and like go to the beach without my phone, or like go on a hike without my phone, just so I can be actually present. So it is kind of nice that you can't get your photos, but yeah, when you want it, it's really hard. And then like you try and take selfies and you're like, this is, I look like a literal thumb. I'm not a good selfie, like, taker of myself.
It's one trip I did to Spain, I lost my phone on the first night in Madrid, so I had to go the remaining week and a bit without a phone, and it was frustrating, but I have so many vivid memories of the trip because it was through my lens and not through the screen. But I did notice everyone else on that trip because it was when I was working at Student Flight. Student Flight. So it was like a famil of like.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
travel agents from around the country. And everyone, it was just amazing when we would stop and have a rest, like a little pit stop or whatever, and everyone's just on their phones. And I couldn't because I didn't have one. So I'm just sitting there and I'm just looking around and like, no one even's having a conversation. And I was just like, fuck, we should really, like, and it's shit because of like, obviously you need a phone for like safety issues too. But I miss the simpler time, you know, when we were heaps younger and we didn't have everything on our phones, and you would just have either a digital camera or a disposable camera, and you just got that one shot, put it down, kept enjoying everything. Like, yeah. And you're not just constantly on that. What would be like your favorite thing of solo travel? Like, if you could list the ultimate pro, what would it be?
I think like what I was saying about my obsession with the Flying Doctors Museum, just those moments where your time is all your own. Like, you have no one else you need to factor into your schedule. When you want to have lunch, you have lunch. When you want to eat breakfast, you eat breakfast. When you want to go on a 3-hour hike in the middle of the day, which is really like not going to be great in terms of heat exhaustion, you do it if you want to do it. Like, you see these people on these big Euro trips with all their friends and it looks so idyllic. But the reality behind all of those always is that there are conflicts of, you know, interest. There's, well, I'm really hungry, I need to go find food now. Oh, but we were on our way to this beach. Or I'm not hungry, I don't want to eat, I'm sulking now because we're all eating. I'm at the beach and I don't want to be at the beach, but everyone else is here. Like, you know what I mean? All of your like interests and preferences and what you can handle are all off. And you're just trying to constantly align. And sometimes it does, and that's like the sweet spot, but it is like a tiny percentage of the whole trip. And so, you know, like, and obviously a way around that is to do what you did and just go, I'm just going to do my thing and we'll compromise and I'm going to do this thing right now and then meet up with you later and all of that. But when you're solo traveling, you don't have to do any of that. Like, you are just on your own time. And so for me, yeah, I love that part of it. And I do the part that I think makes me the happiest about solo travel. And again, like I said, like, it's usually not my preference. Like, I'm not like usually like I need a solo trip. I more do it out of circumstance. But I definitely think that if I went years without having a solo trip, I would crave it and I would probably book something on my own. And the part that I think, yeah, like stands out the most is I remember when I went to Uluru and I was on my own, I was on my road trip and I'd never been.
Yep.
And I remember just like pulling up with like, you know, you kind of come up over like this like road and then it's just there.
Mm.
And it is so magnificent. Like I cannot explain with Uluru. Like, have you been?
Yeah, I went in 2019. And honestly, I reckon that's a great place to go solo. Like,
I agree.
All of country. Like,
yeah. Absolutely. And that for me was, yeah, I remember like just seeing it for the first time on my own, I was like overwhelmed. And then going and walking around and going and stopping at all of these like, you know, culturally and sacred sites. How silent
it is too.
Yep. And you can just be.
Yeah.
And I think immerse yourself in like the weight, like the spiritual weight of that place and the importance of it to the Indigenous people of Australia. I think for me was so much more powerful than I think if I was with other people, just because I got to like really just stay wherever I want. Like if I wanted to just stop and wait in a spot and just be in that nature there, I got to. I didn't have to move on. I didn't have to feel even that subconscious pressure, like not necessarily someone actually saying I need to move on or like I want to go to the bathroom or whatever.
It's interesting how we view solo traveling, because like on one hand we do, it's not all as glamorous or as empowering as it may seem. Like, there can be really lonely, vulnerable, difficult moments as part of it. But also I would still recommend it regardless, because I think it's such a great way to get comfortable in your own company. And sometimes, yeah, that's just not like a pretty process. Like, and it can take a few goes to get there. But I
I would hope, like, I would just tell anyone to give it a crack, like, whether it's, you know, a 2-day trip somewhere like down the peninsula, or like it's a big international moment. What would be your like little pep talk to people who are like, oh, I really want to do it, but I'm a bit scared to like dip my foot in the water there?
Yeah, just literally what you just said, start small, like book a weekend away on your own. Yeah. Don't do it to like a tiny house with no reception, you'll freak out. Like if you're not, like I would say people do that, like they go to like 0 to 100 and they think, oh, solo time, I'm going to go somewhere where I have no reception and I'm in the middle of nowhere and like there's nothing to do except sit with my thoughts and journal, and what you'll actually do is just spiral and like come home within 2 hours. I think book, like, go to like, yeah, like the peninsula or like Daylesford or like in Sydney, I would say like the Blue Mountains, or like go on a little road trip. I think for me, when I'm moving, I'm less aware of how alone I am. So for this trip, for example, originally my fantasy was 3 months in one place and just go to a Greek island, stay there for 3 months. Wow. And then when I did my America trip, which was work related, I was in one place for I think a week and a half each time. And even that was difficult. And so that made me realize I was kind of like, I think with solo travel, we go into this like fantasy zone, like you were saying, like this, everything looks really idyllic. And you think of yourself in this idyllic scenario where you're just like hiking in Nepal with no one around you for like a month. And for some people that genuinely will be amazing. But for me, for example, absolutely not. I would have a meltdown. I could not be on my own with my own thoughts with no one around for that long. Yeah. So I think when I was island hopping, that was great. So I think if you start small, pick somewhere that's, you know, got that, you know, lovely solitude. I think nature's always a really good one. Like go and like, yeah, say Blue Mountains, for example, there's so many beautiful walks you can do, but then there's also towns that you can like go and explore and have a coffee and like, you know, you've got activities that you can fill your day with if you're getting overwhelmed with how much time you have on your hands. And then you just keep stepping it up. So I think road trips are great because usually on a road trip you're going somewhere and then you're staying for a night or two, and then you can always just be on the move. You can always leave. Like if you get to a place and you're like, oh, like I'm just feeling really like freaked out of being like in this quiet sleepy beach town, you just go, cool, pack up the car, let's just get back on the road and just keep moving. And again, yeah, and then when you get up to something like Europe, same thing. Like I booked a bunch of different islands for a few days. And to be honest, now that I'm here for 2 weeks in Hydra, I'm like, thank God I'm somewhere for 2 weeks just straight, because I've been moving so much that yeah. I kind of exhausted myself. And now to be just in one place is lovely. Whereas I think if I did this at the beginning, it would have overwhelmed me.
True.
So yeah, I think just stimulation is really good to get past that loneliness and that fear.
Yeah.
At the beginning.
Sound advice. Mel, thanks so much for coming back on the pod, and enjoy the rest of your travels.
Aww, thanks for having me.
I hope that's provided some comfort. Maybe if you haven't done it before and you're thinking about doing it, like just have a crack and look, maybe I'll catch you in regional Italy and the Greek islands next year. Big ups to Melissa Mason for that conversation. And a big thanks once again to Libido for sponsoring today's episode of Figuring Out 30. Check out their amazing range of sexual wellness products. You can just hit the show notes of this episode to head to their website. And don't forget to use my code FO30, Figuring Out 30, for $30 off the Essential Vibe. So head to libido.com, LBDO.com, to start elevating your pleasure. I'm Bridget Huswaite. Thanks for listening to Figuring Out 30. This is an independent podcast created on the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. And any love that you can share the podcast, because it is just a one-woman show, please rate it, review it, share it with your friends, and I'll catch you next week. Until then, bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.